This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Bill Gillen. Bill is president and CEO of the Cotton Board. We'll talk to Bill Gillen in just a moment. First off, a Clarksdale, Mississippi meeting with local community leaders, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack explaining one of the reasons why the new Rural Partners Network needed to be created.
We got a lot of programs. Just to give you a sense of this, we have 50, 5-0. Yeah, this is just the Department of Agriculture. 50 programs designed to benefit local and regional food systems. 50. How's anybody going to know how to apply for 50 programs? I mean, we have, what, 40-some rural development programs. We got different housing programs and different electric programs and telecommunications and broadband. It's complicated. It's way too complicated.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Bill Gillen. Bill is president and CEO of the Cotton Board. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tony. How are you doing?
Never better. Hey, great time for us to start this conversation. And I'll start the conversation first off with I mentioned that you're president and CEO of the Cotton Board, but there might be some who don't understand the Cotton Board's role in the industry. So what's the elevator speech for who the Cotton Board is?
Tony, the Cotton Board, it's a national organization. It was created by federal statute in 1966. That statute created the Cotton Research and Promotion Program. And it created the Cotton Board to oversee that program. We collect assessment funds today from U.S. cotton producers, as well as the cotton content of imported apparel and other cotton products. We collect those funds, and then we enter into a contract with Cotton Incorporated, which uses those funds to carry out the Cotton Research and Promotion Program. The advertisements many of your listeners see, ag research projects that help them in their farms on the ground, and other things.
And that is a relationship that I think gives us the opportunity to take it now a little further. In conducting an evaluation of the Cotton Research and Promotion Program, actually, I guess it's a third-party evaluation there, but what's the Cotton Board looking for when you do these evaluations?
Well, as I said, Tony, we were created back in 1966. So we've been doing this research and promotion activities for cotton for over 50 years. But when we conduct one of these evaluations today, we're looking for signs that we're doing our job, that we're succeeding in our mission to enhance demand and profitability of upland cotton producers and importers. So we bring in independent economic analysts. They conduct a survey, and they look at impacts of this program both over a long-term period and over a shorter-term period. In other words, the most recent period and then a longer-term look.
And I guess, you know, the obvious question from there is, when we start looking at this evaluation, we want to see what's at the very end of it. So when we start looking at the results, is that good news?
Yes, Tony. The results are very good. They found strong positive returns to cotton producers and importers because of this program. But if I could, I want to stress that your listeners can trust this analysis. In the first place, it's mandated that we do it every 5 years. In the second place, we used some very well-known cotton economists, those that are primarily from Texas A&M and Texas Tech, to do this work. The report is peer-reviewed and even reviewed and approved by the Department of Agriculture. And those analysts use an econometric simulation of U.S. and foreign fiber markets. And it's just that simulation has been here for years and years, and they're constantly refining it. And they use that model to determine if the activities that we carry out under our program are, in fact, enhancing demand and profitability for cotton growers. And I'll just get right on into the results that they did, in fact, as I said, conclude that we are enhancing profitability and we're enhancing demand for cotton. Just, you know, the overview, the great, all of it's good news. They concluded that the cotton checkoff program enhances cotton and cottonseed demand. It's helped increase U.S. cotton yields and production. It's helped increase cottonseed prices. It's basically generated a positive return to both cotton producers and importers. And Tony, this program also helps reduce producers' dependence on government farm programs, and by doing that, we help benefit taxpayers. Just stretching it out a little bit, you know, we do invest a lot of money in agricultural research every year, and that research has been demonstrated to help reduce costs per acre to plant and produce upland cotton. It helps reduce the inputs that farmers have to use, as well as increase the efficiency associated with those inputs. So we feel very good about the overall general results of the analysis. I can give you some specifics if you want them, or I can just leave it general.
Sure. Let's dig into the specifics there as well. Because again, this is only done, I guess, every 5 years. So, what are some of the details as we really start digging in deeper?
Some of the stuff that's easiest to kind of grasp, Tony, is the return on investment for producers. The analysis indicates that producers get almost $6.50 for every dollar they invest in this program. So that's over a 6-to-1 return for producer investment. And the return on investment for importers is greater than that. And that's mainly because they're dealing in a downstream product that's of higher value, you know, on a pound basis than is cotton. We've seen increased cotton yields, reduced U.S. production costs by about $7.60 an acre. We've increased retail cotton fiber demand by over 14%. That's about 2.75 million bales a year. Farm prices were shown to be about 13% higher on average in the U.S. farm prices of cotton because of the program, and that's generated about $11.2 billion in farm-level returns over the life of the program. And I guess the last thing I'll just point out quickly is that the program was also shown to help increase cottonseed demand and cottonseed prices over the longer term. It's pushed prices up by about over $12 per short ton, and it's helped increase cottonseed disappearance by about 266,000 short tons per year. That's in a period from 1993 to 2019. So, I mean, that's just a few of the numbers, and we're very happy with it.
So, Bill, I think, you know, when we think of the work that goes here, how involved are cotton producers, and I guess not only cotton producers, but the other segments in the industry, in driving what happens in the research and promotion program, even though that's determined by Cotton Incorporated? Does Cotton Board have the opportunity to help drive some of that as well?
The Cotton Board oversees this program, and we primarily focus on the bigger picture, Tony. So we look at kind of the high level priorities, and we establish them. We have an annual cycle. We establish those priorities in March, and on the Cotton Board, by the way, it's producers and importers. So we get both the people who grow the fiber and then the people who have to sell that fiber downstream on our board, and they're both of those groups are providing input. And as a result of that, we develop these top level priorities, and we discuss those with Cotton Incorporated, and Cotton Incorporated develops a budget based generally around those priorities. And then we meet later in the year, and we review that annual budget. We approve it, and Cotton Incorporated moves forward and implements. So, yes, there's input and impact from Cotton Board members, both producers and importers. And remember, the Cotton Incorporated Board is composed entirely of U.S. cotton producers. So all up and down the chain of this program, from the Cotton Board to Cotton Incorporated, the U.S. cotton producers are driving what we do.
And if you'll allow me, I'd like to just take one more step on the importer side, because maybe in other areas and other industries, it's just growers looking at things. How important is it that those importers are able to bring some ideas and some thoughts as well back to the producer and vice versa? Is that a really good symbiotic relationship?
It has developed into an extremely positive symbiotic relationship. I spent almost 20 years working with the National Cotton Council, which has seven segments of the industry. I always said from the grower all the way to the point where someone puts scissors to a piece of fabric. Well, on the cotton board, we have growers. We don't have all the people in the middle, but then we kind of finish that process because we have the people who try to sell those finished products to the consumer. So, you know, that's the life's blood. We can make all the cotton in the world, but if we don't have the ability to sell it on the back end, then it's just not going to do us any good. So, the importers came in 1990. And by today, which is over 30 years later, their input is highly valued. It's critical. They do a really good job of seeing potential changes in the industry that are kind of coming around the corner. And to have national organizations and membership that can help us all look around the corner, Tony, that's invaluable. We need to know what's coming in order to be able to adapt to it and to benefit from it.
So, Bill, just about 60 seconds left, and when we talk about those members on the cotton board, they're volunteering their time. They're coming. They're getting involved. How important is it for a producer, when given the opportunity, to step up and give back to the industry?
It's very important, Tony. There is no more valuable commodity than leadership. And when producers, cotton producers, and others give up their time, they voluntarily contribute, they go to these organizations and they work hard for the benefit, not necessarily of themselves, but for the entire industry. That's the kind of leadership that's kept cotton where it is. It keeps the industry going forward, and it ensures that our future is always going to be bright.
Bill Gillen is president and CEO of the Cotton Board. You can learn more about the Cotton Board online at cottonboard.org. That's cottonboard.org. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest is Bill Gillen with the Cotton Board.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the Cotton Board online, cottonboard.org.
Farming is an art and a science. Test out the greatest innovations for your crops at Livingston Machinery. The Sunflower 9413 grain drill is perfect for creating the ideal environment for emergence and growth. Whether it's no-till, minimum till, or conventional seeding, the Sunflower 9413 is easily adjusted to do it all. Experience the Sunflower quality and see why it's farmers' first choice. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The bipartisan infrastructure law and the American Rescue Plan include unprecedented federal resources and programs that could help rural areas. And as we've heard Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack say many times,
we're going to make sure that rural America takes full and complete advantage of this historic opportunity.
And to that end, Vilsack and White House domestic policy advisor Susan Rice were in Clarksdale, Mississippi Wednesday, launching what's being called the Rural Partners Network, designed to empower rural communities to get their fair share of federal dollars and programs. It will work on a couple of levels. First, locally, there will be one-on-one help on-site from USDA and other agency experts in identifying possible federal programs and in navigating what can be a daunting application process. Then, at the federal level, there will be much more coordination of rural programs among the scores of agencies that have them. The partnership begins its work in selected communities in Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, New Mexico, and certain tribes in Arizona. The program will expand to some other states later this year. Gary Crawford, Washington.